Seated. Let us continue in our continuum as we continue to discourse, take out the document, what influence does the actualization of salvation in eternity exert on the eternal doctrines of grace as we move into the home stretch. Let's go to page 19 of that document. And last week, if you can remember, we left off as we our time ran out, and we were in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse, verse 14 is what we're going to focus on. I will give some explication for context. Here we are under the subheading, as we're dealing with these eternal doctrines of grace. Oh my God, it is so important because they give information and they illuminate the workings of God in the eternal sphere,
right.
In the eternal realm. In eternity, God worked. Oh my God, did he work. Not only, he said, God is working, God has worked. And what is working is the manifestation of what God has already worked. Whatever God has already done it. And we must understand this. There are so many things in life that can come and throw you for a loop. There are things out there that are designed to the end where if you don't know and understand, it can depress you. It can make your life miserable.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And there are things out there that can cause you to doubt everything, amen, that you read about in these truths, except when you internalize these truths, nothing can come and shake your faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Nothing. Hallelujah. As we're dealing here with the doctrine of the preservation. Notice I didn't say perseverance.
Right.
I said preservation of saints. We're not perspiring. We're not trying to make it in. We're not trying to get home. We're trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going upside the rough side of no mountain trying to get nowhere.
All right.
Oh, my God, huh? Right. We're not holding on and holding out. Amen. This journey is a completed journey. If you understand the actualization of what God has already accomplished by his decree, you know that the manifestation in things in time just reflect that the creed, amen, actualized occurrence.
Right.
It is actualized in God's decree in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. It's already done.
Right.
Amen. Isn't it already done, Mother Goodlow? It's already done. Amen. Hallelujah. It's already done.
Yes.
And so when you know it's already done, amen, you're not knocking yourself out, wondering what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember the saints used to sing the song, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. You know, oh my God, y'all don't hear me, huh? I don't have to, amen, run on to try to see what it's going to be.
Yes.
I'm running because I know what the end is.
Yes.
Amen. God has given us this enlightenment in his word. Now, we have looked at all of these doctrines, and of course, they all must be cued to that the fact that our salvation was actualized by God's decree in eternity. And once you get the message of salvation settled in your mind, then you can deal with the everyday things of life.
Yes.
Mostly what you think about salvation influences what you think about life.
Yes.
Amen. If you try to shake you about salvation, you're going to be shaky about life.
Amen.
Amen. But you get this salvation aspect of who you are in Him. Amen. Basically, the fact that you are there, you were placed there before time, before creation, and it is an eternal fact. And so whatever is going on down here in time cannot trump that. It cannot, amen, make it null and void or anything like that. Amen. And God's got you covered. Amen. Our best days are ahead of us. Amen. And so the things that we go through, these are just incidents we are going through as we travel through time. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some of them we like, some of them we don't like. Some I would rather not, amen, deal with. And I'm sure there are some that you would rather not deal with. Right. Amen. But this is what God has ordered. So yeah. Our prayer and yeah. Our ultimate prayer is, Lord, your will is done, and that my will aligns with your will. Amen. If you want it, that's all right. If that's what you call, amen, Lord, I trust you. Amen. I trust you to the point that I trust your will above my will.
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
Yes.
But here we have to focus on salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So here I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3, as we said. I'm sorry, did I say Hebrew? Hebrews, yes.
Right.
Elder Liverman. Hebrews chapter 3, Liverman is our designated reader. All right? In this passage, as we left off last week, we were dealing with the essence of the doctrine of the preservation, not perseverance, preservation of the saints. And we distinguished the two words, preserved from preservation from perseverance. What it means to be preserved versus what it means to be ascribing a prescribing or whatever, you know, you're doing in order to accomplish something.
Right.
The fact is we're preserved because it is already done.
Right.
Amen. Preservation is indicative of the actualization of what has been forever accomplished in eternity. That is what preservation is about. It is already done. Amen. And so you're preserved in the fact that it is done. Amen. So the subsequent actions of time and creation, amen, has no relevant effect.
Right.
Now when you look at perseverance, it depicts a continuous progression, ongoing struggles. And so, well, isn't that where we are? Well, that's where we are, amen, in time, in manifestation of us walking on a day-by-day basis through the terrain
right.
of time.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But if we know what the end is,
right.
we know what the combination of all of this is,
yes.
is about. It kind of helps us. It's sort of like watching, amen, rerun of a game, of a movie. I just make it general, of a movie. Amen. I said a game, I guess I'm talking about sports. And amen, everybody's not in the sports, but everybody. You ever seen a movie, amen, and you're watching the rerun of that movie? First time you went through that movie, you know, the hero, heroine, was about to get killed or whatever, and you just went... Second time around, you say, oh, that's about nothing.
Are you
in that car, the automobile scene, and they fighting, trying to keep from going across the mountain, in the car, lose control and go over the edge, and every time they turn a curve, you turn in that curve too.
Right.
Second time, you look at that thing, you say, oh, okay, we're going. It's different, huh?
Different.
And so this is where we got to, amen, take a look at life.
Right.
Amen. The essence of the whole thing and the whole matter is that we are forever preserved as members of the body of Christ.
Right.
And then also it lets us know other things. First of all, this body that we in shall be destroyed. Destroyed means done away with.
Mm-hmm.
This body does not survive the time capsule. It does not survive the time capsule. God hasn't saved anybody's body. Your physical body, amen, is not saved. There's never any guarantee there, amen, of anything concerning your physical body.
That's right.
Amen. So those that teach things like, you know, God doesn't want you to be sick and all of that, they're not reading.
Huh?
They're not reading. Not only will your body gonna get, is your body going to get sick, your body will be eventually destroyed. You know, destroyed. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's not good news. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's good news because in the essence of God's eternal workings, these bodies were designed for the time capsule only.
Only.
The real you, amen, the essence of you is who God has placed in the most favorable position of all. That is, amen, in his body.
That's
we
right.
are members, and that's our problem. We can that God's people don't have an appreciation of the fact of who we are.
Right.
That we are members of the body of Christ.
Right.
We are members of, so well, I lost my job. You're a member of the body of Christ.
Right. Amen.
So, well, you know, I got bad report from the doctor. You are a member of the body of Christ. Christ, amen. I'm broke. I lost my house. They foreclosed on it. I'm being evicted. You are a member of the body of Christ. My Lord, not only can you see, with physical things, of financial things, you can only take that to the bank. Amen. With this treasure of knowledge we have, we can take it to eternity.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my God, how many scrapes personally have I been able to mentally eject from by the knowledge that dwells within and it causes you to even see life, amen, and the essence of life in a truly different vein, amen. We are in a time capsule, and that time capsule had a beginning and it has an ending.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And who we are in these encapsulated, depraved, vile bodies, not in essence who we really are.
Right.
This is temporary.
Yes.
Everybody said temporary.
Temporary.
Amen. Now, some people get upset when I start talking like that, but as long as the scripture talk that way, I'm talking that way. Huh? And that's what. And these are the scriptures that are not read. You know, you know, everything is on here. And now, and Paul is saying, amen, in Colossians, to those that are risen in Christ, seek those things that are above.
Right.
Amen. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and put your affections or your confidence and your all in all aspiration not into the things or to the earth, amen, but in the heavenlies. Amen. And then we read that, and then we say, well, okay, now let's get these bills paid. But I'm telling you, the essence of who we are in Christ must be ever before us. Amen. There's no guarantee. God hasn't guaranteed you as a member of the body of Christ that you're not going to suffer down here. In fact, it says that those that will live godly must suffer persecution.
Yes.
Amen. Here you have the imperative mood.
Yes.
Amen. You must suffer persecutions and trials and afflictions and things that are going down here. And so this is why we take so much time dealing with salvation. You've got to transcend your minds above the things that are around you. So preservation speaks of the fact of what God has guarded and placed into reserve. He has deposited, amen, and he backs it up.
Mm-hmm.
In the third chapter of Hebrews, as we were dealing last week, Paul starts out in verse 1 talking about, and he uses the vocative case as he addresses the recipients of his writings as holy or separated brethren. Not only separated, but separated unto being partakers of the heavenly calling. Amen. Jesus Christ was faithful in that he is the one and the cause of us being in this house. Amen. Every house is built, verse 4, by some. One who has built this house, the body of Christ, amen, is God. Amen. And so he speaks of those positioned in the house. He speaks of the example of Christ in verse 6 as a son over his own house, whose house are we, amen. And then we have the expression in the King James, if we hold fast to confidence and rejoicing, and as we said last week, amen, is depending upon how you set that particle in there, as a conjunction, or whether, amen, have a superordinate conjunction there of how it is expressed on one hand and is eon-par, then in the other case it's eon, and then in parentheses you have per, which means you have now a subordinating factor of the fact that you are, amen, you are in the house, or you are in the body, and because you are in the body, you can hold fast to the confidence of rejoicing to the hope of the end because you're in the body. Not if you hold fast.
Right.
You're in the body,
right.
And because you're in the body, you can be confident of holding to the end.
Right.
So, in other words, it's not dependent upon you.
Right.
Right. Now, then he goes on down and he says, you receive these things. The Holy Spirit has spoken it. And today, as you hear his voice. In verse 8, he's speaking to them and he's telling them, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And he speaks as he's writing to Hebrew believers, and I'm trying to fast forward here. And he's talking about, he remembered when their fathers or their forefathers, amen, tempted God, as it expressed there, and in their actions, amen. And yet, in spite of that, amen, God was faithful and he kept them because he brought them out of the wilderness. Y'all don't hear me. He brought them out of the wilderness, amen. And in it, they saw his works and learned from his mighty workings of the 40 years. Now, moving on down here in verse 12, he says, take heed lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's not speaking there from the standpoint that is in their hands. Mm-hmm. He is speaking about knowledge here. Understand, get the context of what he is saying. Up in the verse, the preceding or antecedent verse, he just talked about their forefathers, and if anybody could have tempted God to the point where he would have given up on them, he would have turned them away from him, it would have been their forefathers.
Oh,
amen. So here, to understand for the context here, he is speaking about turning away from the knowledge of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so, in verse 13, and start off there, Elder, everybody got to say amen. Verse 13.
Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with the 13th verse.
Mm-hmm.
But exhort one another daily.
Exhort one another daily. Daily. We have the testimony where we come together and one is in trouble. We all come, amen, and we testify and we give words of encouragement and support, amen. And what do we use? Amen. We use the essence of the knowledge that we have. Amen. And so on a daily basis, and because we understand the frailties of human flesh and the mind, that which has to be constantly, amen, administered to in regards to the things that we know.
Right.
In this same book, Paul writes that we must take the Most earnest heed to the things that we have what? Already heard. At least at any time they step away from us. So it's a continuous process. And this is why I tell the ministers, don't be afraid of repeating yourself. Mm-hmm. Amen. So well, he's repeating yourself. Amen. Learning is 90%, that's this gospel, is 90% repetition. A pastor used to always say, 90% repetition. Over and over and over and over and over and over again to hear these same truths.
Right.
Each day, you say, well, I heard it yesterday. Amen. You can't say, I've been through Romans chapter 1. I don't have to go through that anymore. No, you don't work that way. Amen. You have to hear this over and over and over and over. So on a daily basis, amen, you need to know who you are.
Right.
So, well, don't tell me that I'm a member of the body of Christ. You told me that yesterday. Well, I'll tell you today. I'll tell you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Amen. Because you need to know who you are, and just hearing it one time is not going to get it. So, well, I got it. Well, no, you think you've got it until you get into some problems or trouble. And then, amen, you'll know that you don't have it and you still need it.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me.
Thank God.
All right. So, exhort one another daily.
Why it is called today.
Uh-huh.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Right, because of the trials, the vicissitudes of life, they come and they are basically designed to cloud and to darken your understanding. That is your spiritual, cognitive recognition of who you are and what this thing is all about. And don't tell me that me and you and everybody else, we get into the heat in the midst of the trials and the problems and the situations of life, and it just begins to wear down on us.
Yeah.
It'll wear you out.
Yeah, yeah.
Life will wear you out.
Yeah.
I said life will wear you out.
Yeah.
Amen. Except you are renewed day by day of these precious truths of knowing who you are.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
It's all of us. And so we come to you every time, amen, and we are not, we have not the slightest hesitancy about repeating, amen,
right.
These glorious truths. Alright, in verse 14.
For we are made partakers of Christ.
Alright, okay, go ahead.
If you hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the Greek. Because here, as we look at this, there are some tenses here that we're not going to run away from. Amen. Read that.
What, 13?
14.
14.
Mm-hmm.
In the Greek.
Uh-huh.
Sharers for Christ.
Sharers, or partakers, or participators for, that is of.
For of Christ.
For of Christ you have here, oh my God, you. You got the genitive case here.
Alright.
Who do you belong to?
Christ.
Huh?
Christ.
You are partakers of that which belongs to Christ. We are. What does belong to what was what belongs to Christ, huh? We belong to Christ.
We belong to Christ.
Huh? We belong to Christ.
That's right.
We belong. Somebody said, "Oh, that don't mean nothing." Yes, it means everything.
Glory to God.
We belong to Christ. We would pray prayers like, "Lord, are you there? Come by here, Lord. Remember me. You know, don't forget about me. Don't pass me by." And I'm not saying that. Songs that have that in there. As long as you know what you, the essence of what the doctrine really is conveying. Mm-hmm. We're preserved.
Uh-huh.
You don't preserve me,
uh-huh.
huh? You don't preserve me. I when I was small, my mother used to make the apples and take them, and I see some of your smile. You know what I'm getting ready to say?
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
And you take them and put them in a jar and seal them.
Seal.
You know. And of course, you know what's food? What does food? Food was spoiled. But if that thing is sealed off, if that's sealed off and the air and the elements can't get to
that's
it,
uh-huh.
Amen, it ain't going nowhere.
Huh?
You reach up there months later and grab one of those jars and open them. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Preserved. Preserved. Amen. We're preserved.
Yes.
No matter what happens.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, my yes. God. We're forever in him.
Yes.
Amen. Paul writes on one occasion that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And all of the things that could come. And you notice, he doesn't say that he said life. He doesn't say that we're immune from the things of life.
No.
God's people are in an accident. God's people get killed. God's people get sick.
Yes.
So, no, don't teach that. Tell the people, amen, that none of these things are going to happen to you. If you push the right buttons and do the right thing, God's going to protect you, and you'll never, you know, and then you go out there and have an accident. Then now you're confused.
Right. See?
Huh?
That's it. Amen.
Right. You're very confused.
Very God, yes.
Because somebody told you it couldn't happen to you. Amen. You know, no weapon formed against me can prosper.
God, mercy.
That's not even what. First of all, stay in your gospel. That's the first thing. Stay in your gospel. Amen. He was talking to Israel. He was talking about a specific occasion and a specific event and a specific time.
Yes.
Amen. When all of the nations of the world come against us, he said, no weapon that's formed against you, that nothing that they got, amen, is going to destroy you based on the fact, amen, that I have decreed your deliverance.
Yes.
Somebody take that. Amen. Now they're teaching that nothing's going to happen to you. And then when something happens to you, you're confused. You're frustrated.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
Then he speaks about things present, things to come, things to come.
Have mercy.
Who's sitting here this morning know what things are to come? Things to come? I'm talking about as far as the daily events
right.
of this life.
Right.
Things to come?
Right.
Amen. Who knows from week to week things to come? But do we walk around in morbid fear and feeling, amen, that we're in jeopardy? No! We're preserved!
Yeah.
We're preserved!
Yeah,
amen.
Lord.
God, amen, has placed you where nothing can touch you,
yeah.
amen, in the essence of who he is and who you are in him.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Yes. That's where the security is.
That's right. That's it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
And I said, death, life.
Yes, Lord.
Things present, things to come. And then he said, not anything else in creation.
Glory to God. Nothing.
Is able to separate. Paul said, as long as I'm not separated from God, I can deal with everything else.
Hallelujah.
That's what Paul is saying.
Hallelujah.
As long as I'm not separated from God, someone says, yeah, but I could do without some of these things. But if God has ordered it, if God has decreed it,
mm-hmm.
it is for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not because he doesn't love you, but because it is his pleasure and his will to work something out in you.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Amen. Wallace and I went to visit an honor man of ours this week in Indiana, and I almost jumped out that chair. She was started testifying. She had this stroke, and the left side of her was paralyzed. And all we could hear is that she wanted healing. She won't be able to walk and heal and so forth again. And then when we went back this time, she was praising God and giving him the glory and talking about how many people she had been able to help. She said, I've been able, amen, the use of God to help more people sitting here in this
yeah.
condition than yeah. I ever did all the rest of my life when I and began to talk about eternity. And as we sit down, I was just amazed. You know, I said, my God, that's the stuff I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, but sometimes God has to take you through something
yeah.
and place you there
yeah.
to teach you something.
Yeah.
Amen.
God.
To give you the illumination.
Yeah.
Amen. To go through the trials and the vicissitudes of life. Amen. That as you come through them, then you don't have to go by what somebody tell you. You know. You know. As Paul said, that he's able to keep me from falling. Oh, my God.
Glory to God. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Glory to God. And so he gives a testimony there. Amen. Here it says, shells are partakers for Christ what?
Yeah. Amen.
Sharers or partakers of Christ, we have become.
We have been become.
All right.
If indeed.
No, look at the King James said we are.
We have become.
We are because we were.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
You didn't just get to be. In eternity, amen, you were.
Right.
You were sanctified.
Yes, sir.
You
amen.
Were justified.
Yes, sir.
Huh? In him. Mm-hmm. When you were chosen. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Amen. This is what the scriptures are trying to teach us. Amen. And if we do not take God at his word.
Glory.
And really look at these scriptures. And really embrace them. Life will annihilate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, Lord.
Because you are not exempt from the trials and the tribulations of life.
That's it.
I don't know where that silly teaching came from. That we can get out of certain things and avoid certain things based on the fact that if we do this and do this and the Lord takes the debt and then this is not going to happen, that's not going to happen. So I don't know where it came from.
Hammer.
Every one of these servants of God
Everyone.
Went through trials,
Everyone.
Tribulations,
yeah.
hardship. No one who served the Lord had an easier time.
Hallelujah.
Somebody start reading. Mm-hmm. Amen. Talking about, going back to talking about Abraham, God gave him this, and they read this, you know, and these are the blessings, and you know, this is the kind of stuff that the churches, the pews that are being fed into the pews, amen, and wouldn't be so bad if it just went into the pews, it's going into the hearts and the minds of God's people.
Yes, Lord.
You can be happy by knowing this in spite of what's going on in your life.
Amen.
This is what this is about. So we were partakers. Amen. Read.
We have become.
Uh-huh.
If indeed the beginning of the assurance.
Uh-huh. Again, if only because of the fact that we are partakers, what?
We're partakers.
The beginning of what?
The beginning of the assurance.
Uh-huh.
Until the end, firm, we hold fast.
We hold fast. We hold fast because from the beginning we've had this assurance.
Glory to God.
And the knowledge of him is the beginning of your assurance.
Yes, Lord.
The knowledge of these truths beget your assurance.
Right.
I'm knowing. And as you learn these, you are happy every day, no matter what's going on in your life.
Yes, Lord. Thank God.
The trials and things of life have come to try you, not to destroy you.
Glory to God.
Let's understand this. This is what the scripture is telling us. And so what we have to do is we have to understand these doctrines. Now, one more thing in there. We have the Greek verb katakoming, which is rendering we might hold or we should hold. And the King James don't even deal with saying that. Amen. Basically, we are in verse 6. Then here we were made partakers. Here, if we might hold heaven, hell. We have a subjunctive aorist there. Might hold, in the essence of manifestation in time, heaven, hell, in the actualization of what God has accomplished in eternity.
Right.
Amen. So this marks the beginning of our confident, steadfast unto the end. So the conveyance is the manifestation of the past completed probability of ample testimony to the fact that those that were eternally decreed to do so will manifest their probability of holding firm in his person, their confident, steadfast, continuously unto the end. And this is what I'm ministering to you about, is we're continually, getting you to hold fast, not to your status in Christ, but hold fast to the knowledge. Hold fast to the knowledge.
Yes, Lord.
Hold fast to this knowledge.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Just because you're having problems, that doesn't make null and void the essence of what this is saying to
you. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen. You believe God in spite of the circumstances that's before you.
Right.
Thus, the preservation of God's people, page 19, in the last paragraph there. Thus, the preservation of God's people in respect to the eternal hope, which was actualized in every respect in God's decree, is that which must be both focused and relied upon. This is in stark contrast to the premise of the perseverance of God's people, yet being progressively worked out in the sphere of time, with the guarantee and warranty of God's assurance of their continuance and service, their surety. And this is actually what Calvinism conveys. The conveyance of Calvinism is God will cause you to persevere, because if you stop, you won't make it. But God will cause you to persevere. And actually, that's not what the teaching is. The teaching is God has already preserved you. And what you do or what you don't do is not a factor as to who you are. Amen. Now, it is a factor as to how you fare in your daily activities in relationship to who you are.
Amen.
Amen. We'll deal with that as we look here. Every age has had its share of those who once gave a seemingly valid profession of faith in Christ,
yes,
only to manifestly fall away from that profession. Here in the Kingdom Gospel in Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 24, we're not going to stop to go through this. You know the Samaritan, the converts, and Demas was among those who originally conflicted Paul. You know the story of Simon Magnus, who some said was not saved because of what he did. Amen. And of course, if we went through there, we're not going to go through there, but go to the book of Acts and actually read that. And you see, there's nothing that said he was lost.
Nothing.
So, well, look what he did. Well, look at some things we do.
See?
Said, well, he failed. Let's look at our failures.
Uh-huh. Amen.
See? And Demas. Let's turn to Colossians 4:14. Right quickly, and then 2 Timothy 4:10. Just want to show you, give you an illustration of something here. You know, we always trying to assess where someone's status is.
Right.
Don't you ever put yourself in the position of saying who's saved and who's not saved.
Right.
That's the most gosh awful thing that you could ever do.
Right.
How do you know?
Right.
You were not around when God chose, elected, and placed his chosen into the body of Christ in eternity. How you know who they were? Well, so look how they're acting. Amen. Here in verse, Colossians 4:14, read that right quickly. Got that?
Yes.
Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 4, beginning with the 14th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you.
Okay, I'm going to stop there for the sake of time. As Paul writes this, he have a company of those who are helping him, Epaphras, and he had Luke, one who writes Acts. These were all devoted men, and he said, and Demas. Demas greets you. Demas greets you. So here Demas is part of the ministering team.
Right.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
He's saved, and he's... Now let's go to... 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Everybody got that? All right, read that.
Second Timothy chapter 4, beginning with the 10th verse.
I hear pages, but I'm saying, we look at the performance, our performance, and the things that we do, the things that we fail to do, and if it was based upon that, you know, as I was telling the young people in Sunday school this morning, you know, if based upon what we did or what we've done, amen, if that was the basis, that was the determinant, it then nobody would be saved.
Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know. So when he messed up, well, if you look hard enough, you'll see times you messed
Thank
up.
Thank God. Amen. Uh-huh. Amen.
So well, here's the worst than mine. Say who? Says who?
That's it. That's it.
Huh?
That's it.
The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Is that right?
That's what it
says. All right. Verse 14.
Okay, verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse...
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10.
Uh-huh. For Demas hath forsaken me.
Read that again.
For Demas hath forsaken me.
Demas, he was talking to her and said, Demas greet you. That was with Paul. Demas. Finish that up.
Having loved this present world.
Uh-huh.
And is departed unto Thessalonica.
All right. Read that from the Greek tape.
Greek, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 2.
From the Greek.
Right.
Chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10.
Okay. From the Greek text. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning with the 10th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Demas for me forsook,
mm-hmm,
loving the present age.
Loving the now
age. The now age.
That
loving the now
he,
age.
He's looking around and say, hey, give me that same Demas that was so faithful.
Yeah.
That was so faithful. Mm-hmm. And he said he went on somewhere else and said, hey, you know, you guys, all of, I didn't know all of this was part of it. Huh?
Yeah.
Say it's too hot. I'm getting out of here. Mm-hmm. And what's the old saying? You can't take the heat. Get out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Huh? He says this is too hot in here.
Yep.
He says, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And then, so he left. Yeah. And now those that teach that demons went to hell.
Oh
man. Does it say that?
No. No.
Huh? No. He just said he loved this present world.
What's all? Mm-hmm.
That's all he said. You never find Paul putting nobody in hell. Even Alexander the coppersmith, he said he did me much harm. The only thing he said, the Lord rewarded him for his work.
He said,
well, that means he went to hell. That, Paul, he said, no. Don't read into something that's not there.
Not there. Amen.
Follow this. Seemingly, in these times of modern day culture, back to the document, seemingly in these times of modern day cultures, it's not uncommon to find that the vast majority of those saved may show very sparse scripturally testimony evidence of their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You got millions of God's people that are saved. They're not living like it. They're not acting like it. But you cannot say they're not saved. Your performance is not the basis,
mm-hmm,
of whether you're in Christ or not.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank God.
And I know that's against the majority of what Christendom teach.
Yes.
But even going back in the Old Testament, David said, if the Lord regarded iniquity, oh my God, who would survive? Here, such results have seemingly become the rule rather than the exception, especially in this day. Yet, it is to the purpose of God in demonstrating that the elect's eternal status is verified exclusively by what was accomplished in such one's behalf before time, rather than by their performance and testimony after time began.
Yeah. Amen.
So what we have to rely upon is the work of God excelling and exceeding our work.
Thank God.
Because everybody in here at some time, you go through a period where you know that you're not doing what you're supposed to do in relationship to your God.
Amen. That's it.
Every one of us.
Amen.
All of us. Not a person here that doesn't fall short.
Amen.
Now, we have another section here as I close called the carnal child of God. Everybody got that at the bottom of page 19. We're going to deal with this word carnal. We love to use that. And most of the time when we use that word, we're using it in the moralistic sense. And of course, a carnal person is a worldly person. A worldly person, not so much saying that from the standpoint that the person is out there in the world doing this, that, and the other, and though what the person may. But it's just saying that this person is enamored and influenced more by the things of the world than by the things of God.
Yep. Right. Amen. Thank God, yes.
Amen. You could be staying home, minding your garden. That's carnal.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than coming to church. Because your garden is influencing you more than the things of God. And so you're focusing on that. Does that mean you're not saved? No. 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 The carnal child of God, to the chagrin of the legalists, traditionalists, and synergists, the scripture answer is readily supplied to the so-called, and I hear this all the time, especially in evangelical circles, carnal Christian phenomenon, which is indicative of the fact that there are those who are actually Christians, using that term, howbeit carnal Christians. Indeed, men of God's people abide in an immature state. I think I'll repeat that. Men of God's people abide in an immature state, hardly differing in any respect from the non-elect, except they were chosen and placed in Christ in eternity.
Amen.
And that is a big difference. They may even live out their days on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen those that have come into our midst and they were faithful for a while and now they're out doing something. You call them, you call them and you talk to them and you can't get them to come and be faithful and so forth and so on. And that's confusing. If God didn't arrest your heart.
Right. There you go.
Come on.
And arrest your carnality.
Yeah.
And arrest your depravity.
Yeah.
And stir in your heart your mind and your spirit the love of God and the love for his work, you wouldn't be here either.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach it. Amen.
Yet that person is just as saved as you are.
That's it. Amen. Thank God.
He said, but don't teach that now, because now everybody's going to go out and say, well, I don't have to go no more. That's not the purpose of this.
That's it.
The Lord stirs up.
That's right.
And you to be used of him.
Mm-hmm.
To be in his presence. To be in communion with him. Oh my God. That's a great thing. That's the best thing in life.
Yes, Lord.
Follow this now. I'm going to be down in a few minutes. They may even live out the days on earth without exhibiting any noticeable testimony whatsoever of their spiritual life. Yet when they die, they have the assurance of being manifestly glorified. But on the basis of their eternal placement in Christ. In all diligence to God's word, all in Christ, this is where we'll stop today. All in Christ must be exhorted to focus on the higher level of the Christian life. That is our progression to a manifested spiritual walk in Christ. I think I'll repeat this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In all diligence to God's word. This is what the goal is. This is what the encouragement is. This is what the exhortation is all about. As I teaching in the perfecting class, parenthesis, of how it works through our gospel, amen, you take the indicative influences the imperative.
Glory to God.
You don't come out the gate with the imperative.
No.
You come out the gate with the indicative. The indicative is the knowledge.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Amen. The way this works in process mm-hmm. is that if you want to stir up God's people
yeah.
to do,
yes.
you don't do it with threats.
I'm mercy.
Some ministers dare to stand and threaten people, try to keep the licking flames of hell over their head mm. to try them to get to do something. Had a minister even said to me, an older pastor, he said, you know, they won't, if you tell them they don't have to do nothing, then they won't. That's not how this works. You don't have to do nothing to be saved or stay saved. But since you are saved, why not enjoy it?
Thank God. Glory to God.
There's joy in being saved. In the midst of this life problematic occurrences, there's joy. There's joy forevermore in being saved.
Glory to God.
Have you ever experienced the joy of knowing Him?
Yes.
The joy of fellowshipping in Him. Sing the song, He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know.
Glory to God.
Strong winds may rise. Yes. Strong winds may blow.
Yes.
And I
yes.
said that. But I have a Savior.
Thank God. Yes.
And I'll tell the world. He's sweet, I know. And when the storms blow, when the storms rage, when turmoil and the tremors and the earthquakes of life shake me, amen, now, it doesn't cause me to doubt Him, but it draws me closer to Him. He is sweet, I know.
Yes, Lord.
I can say I found the Savior.
Thank God.
He's sweet, I know. And so this is what this is about this morning. Amen. Our progression to a manifested spiritual walk.
Hallelujah.
In Christ. Now, when the eternal doctrines of grace is properly taught, they may be improperly taught, I'm sorry. When the eternal doctrines of grace improperly taught, they may be misconstrued by some as a haven for carnality. You all follow this closely now.
All right.
I'm not going to shake you. I want you to walk out here with this embedded, indelibly impressed in your mind. When we teach these doctrines,
yes, bro.
Right, this won't happen. But when they are improperly taught, they may be misconstrued by some as a haven for carnality. But when they are scripturally presented, they engender fruitfulness and obedience entrenched in the knowledge of God. We'll start here next week. 1 Corinthians 15:34, 2 Corinthians 2:14, 2 Corinthians 4:6, 2 Corinthians 10:5, Ephesians 1:17, Ephesians 3:19, Ephesians 4:13, Colossians 1:10. Amen. Again, when this is scripturally presented, rightly divided, exegeted, they engender fruitfulness. Everybody say fruitfulness. And obedience. Everybody say obedience. That are entrenched in the knowledge of God. You get more
yes.
true service to God.
Glory.
Through teaching.
Amen.
And someone internalizing and understanding this stuff than to put a bunch of rules and regulations.
Right. Glory to God.
Someone said to me, the way you make sure you get people in Bible classes, you tell them the little job that they have there in the church, to keep that job, they must show up for Bible study. So that's a rule. Now they're not there for Bible study. They're there because they don't want to lose their position.
Right. Right. Amen. Right.
So once you get them there, they're not going to come that way. You don't get the right results with the wrong motive.
No. That's it.
our prayer, our aim, our petition is that you come to love this word. You get to the place where you love the Lord. You love the house of God. You love the things of God.
Yeah.
It is love. Love is the driving motivation and force, amen, that gets the job done.
That's it. Amen.
Here it is a note.
Thank God.
That no evangelistic message employed outside of the systematic teaching of God's word can bear the responsibility for the quality of the lives of God's children. Even if such ones are seemingly void of any signs of their spiritual life, none must ever dare to judge one's eternal status. And so we're not putting anyone in hell. We desire to see everyone here. Amen. And we pray for them and that God will give them illumination and light as He's given us. Once manifested, testimony is strictly a matter of God's designs and enablement for each life. Hence, God's people might have problems in the exhibition of their growth, but this should never be construed to be to the detriment of their status, of their status in Christ. Amen. Our desire, amen, is that you come to love this. Amen. And when we see you coming, we know that the motivation is Christ. Not that we're giving out any trinkets, member of the month, and all of that stuff that some of them are doing. How many stars they can put by your name, put it up on the bulletin board. How much we can stand up here and brag about you, and everybody look around and say, oh, and then you feel good about yourself. No, that is not about, none of that's about anything. Amen. It's got to be, it's got to be love.
Amen.
You see, when I look up during the weekend, I'm pretty sure Deacon Pritchard don't mind me saying, when I look up just about every day and I see Deacon Pritchard coming through here, that's love.
That's it.
We're not paying him.
No.
Huh? But that's love. It's the motivation of love.
That's it.
Amen. That you love the house of God.
Amen.
You love the things of God.
Amen.
You love the people of God.
Amen.
You love the word of God.
That's it.
Amen. Which is a greater, much greater motivation, amen, that you're running on, amen, because the devil's on your track trying to turn you back, amen, or that you want to make sure you make it in. No! It's made! You're preserved! Amen! But here, we want you to know the love of God, to experience the love of God, so that you can enjoy, amen, and give God praise for who you are in Him, of Him, to Him. Oh my God!
Glory
to God.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. This August, third Sunday in August, I don't know the date. Amen.
Glory to God.
40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm telling my age, but I guess I'm telling Mother Nella's age too. Amen. Remember the day, amen, that I. Amen. The Lord brought me to a knowledge and understanding of His word.
Glory to God.
Amen. And it was like a light came on. Huh? No. I'm not saying I've always been this sinner, because I know I haven't. I would be standing here telling you a lie. But that love that He put into my heart for His word, I was so much in love with the word of God, I didn't think anybody else could love the word of God as much as I did. Huh? Amen. That's one thing that struck me with for Elder Nicholson when I met him, amen, about 35 years ago. Amen. I was struck at, hey, here's somebody that loved the word of God as much as me. Huh? It's like radar. I couldn't get enough. And here 40 years later, I can't get enough. Huh? I can't. You say, but what you doing up there, Pastor? I can't get enough. Amen. Sometimes I'm going home, then I hit a stream of something, amen, and I say, woo, what is this? And I get into it, and now I was passing it. It's the love of God, amen.
Yes.
It ain't about me trying to worry about, amen, I'm going to miss heaven, I'm going to miss out on some rewards or something like that. No, it's not about any of that, amen. It's the love of God. Paul said, constrains me. It draws me tight. Woo, hallelujah. It causes me to do more than I would ever do. Amen. If somebody, amen, had a double-barreled shotgun pointed at my head, say, if you don't do it, amen, you're done. No. Because you love Him.
Glory.
And I said to those of you, amen, who are not, maybe that's faithful, and of course the only person and judge that is you and God judging that to you and to your mind. Of course, you know that if you're not as faithful as know and understand, you're missing out on the joy of an elevated experience in God. Amen. So where I come, well, and I enjoy what I, well, you will enjoy more and more and more and more and more. This thing is like a shining light, and it grows brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto this day. Amen. Even to the point where Paul said, for me to live, yes, is Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And if I die, it's gain. But while I'm living, this thing is all about Christ.
That's
huh?
It.
Man, these people act like they lost their mind. No. Hey, God has given illumination and the light. Amen. And I'm enjoying, you know how we think that we enjoy a man love for some sport. If he likes golfing, or if he likes to do a certain kind of hobby and so forth, he spend a lot of time with that. Amen. And so basically the time, amen, that you spend, as it increases, it'll make you want to spend more time.
Glory to God. Sure.
That's what this thing is about. You are preserved. Everybody said preserved.
Preserved.
All right. We'll go into the home stretch. Into Glory. The home stretch. Hopefully in the next few weeks we can finish this up. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you. Amen. Oh.